This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, July 15th, 2008. I'm Caleb Brown. Both Maine presidential candidates believe that their foreign policy prescriptions will lead them to victory in November. But what animates the foreign policy of Barack Obama? And what is this idea of dignity promotion around the globe? Justin Logan, Associate Director of Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, comments.
There's been a lot of sort of media hullabaloo about the purported flip-flop of Senator Obama, which we all know is the most dread sin that one can commit in American presidential politics. But as is made clear, I think, in the New York Times piece, Obama's position hasn't changed altogether that much, despite, again, the media drumbeat about how the surge has worked. And a media ad campaign attempting to leverage that against Senator Obama. He has said in the Times piece that he believes that the implications of his opposition to the surge are still correct, that he was correct to oppose the surge and correct to support deploying out of Iraq and focusing more on Afghanistan. And so I think that this is an attempt to knock down the flip-flop charge that has been leveled against him. And he's really made a point of leveraging against Senator McCain in the Times op-ed piece and throughout the campaign. I think Senator McCain's what deserves to be lauded in some sense as straight talk when McCain says things about spending 100 years in Iraq or bombing Iran. Obama mentions these types of things in the Times piece, and really I think we have the recipe here for a full-on confrontation on foreign policy in this presidential election.
Both John McCain and Barack Obama believe that their strategy politically is a winning one. Is there anything more deeply than sort of just political calculation that leads Barack Obama to his position on Iraq?
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting, from being sort of a foreign policy scholar, that this election is actually interesting. Traditionally, very few presidential elections have been decided in the United States on the basis of foreign policy. Normally, economic issues are very much more prominent. And I think that's becoming true of this election in the sense that with all of the economic turmoil that we're encountering today, the relative importance of economics is going up. But people are still very, very concerned about foreign policy. And I think in this election, the interesting thing is you have two candidates who do genuinely disagree on what United States foreign policy should be, and they want to fight and think that their position will win in terms of the popularity that their position will engender in the American people. So I think that you do have things like this question of, you know, should the United States be willing to negotiate with so-called rogue states, et cetera. Senator McCain clearly says no. Senator Obama clearly says yes. So I think that you do have this very, very different approach. You know, you have Senator McCain, who again, the New York Times over the weekend described the sort of lodestar of his politics in both domestic and foreign policy as Teddy Roosevelt. And then you have Obama, who has very much more of a sort of 21st century approach to things. He criticized in particular the Bush administration in his foreign affairs piece in 2007. In the context of Iraq, Obama said that the Bush administration, quote, responded to the unconventional attacks of 9/11 with conventional thinking of the past, largely viewing problems as state-based and principally amenable to military solutions. So I think that Obama sort of sees things in sort of broader, again, sort of forward-looking 21st century terms. And I think that McCain, you know, has this mantra of grit and determination. And he uses the term surrender a lot to refer to Obama's very positions on things from Iraq to Iran and elsewhere. So I think that you do, and it's important, you do see serious distinctions, but it's important not to overplay them. On serious aspects of U.S. foreign policy, I think there is similarity between McCain and Obama. When you look at things like so-called democracy promotion or enlargement of NATO, now these are very, very important things. They don't have the sort of sex appeal that a question about Iraq or Iran has in the context of the sort of media tumult of the campaign, but on, you know, some very, very consequential aspects of U.S. foreign policy, there's similarity between the two. But I do think that certainly in terms of elections in recent memory, the differences here are fairly stark. And the two sides are willing to fight. Traditionally, at least in recent decades, Democrats may or may not have had very, very strongly held views about foreign policy. But particularly after Vietnam, they were afraid of the political implications. They were afraid that their views, which generally tended to be sort of less militaristic than did Republican views, would be branded as weak. And that happened again after September 11th, where Democrats were afraid to sort of oppose many of the things that the Bush administration was doing, at least in part out of political fear of appearing too weak. And I think that Obama, to a certain extent, represents opposition to that, to say, hey, no, wait a minute. The Bush administration's approach and Senator McCain's approach is wrong and ours is right, and we're not afraid to say that. So that's, I think, is what's interesting, is that there's a real fight.
One of the key talking points for opponents of the Iraq War has been that the America's stature in the world has taken a serious hit. What is this concept of dignity promotion, and where does that come from?
Right. I think this is one of the points where Senator Obama's otherwise relatively appealing foreign policy platform gets a little shaky. The term first originated in a cover story for the American Prospect by Spencer Ackerman, in which Ackerman interviewed many of the close advisors to Senator Obama and said, well, you know, how are we going to deal with this terrorism problem? What is the root of it, et cetera? And what kept coming up was that they had this idea of dignity promotion, that the United States would quote, fix the conditions of misery that breed anti-Americanism and prevent liberty, justice, and prosperity from taking root. And I think that this is sort of a dangerous misdiagnosis of the why we have a terrorism problem and certainly how to fix it. It's not clear how one would go about promoting dignity. I mean, one envisions sort of USAID or State Department personnel arriving on the ground in Somalia and saying, you know, we're from the U.S. government and we're here to help you with your dignity. And that's sort of, so it's a curious formulation, and I think it may underlie one of two things. Either a fundamental misdiagnosis of the terrorism problem and why we have a terrorism problem, or B, what I think Democrats have traditionally done when they have opposed a particular foreign policy initiative, they feel the need to say, I oppose the Iraq war, or I oppose going to war with Iran, etc. But there are all of these other scary things out there that the Republicans aren't telling you about that I'm going to deal with. So you hear things like Democrats talking about things like state failure, which is as nebulous a concept as anyone has ever come up with. But they say these failed states are a problem where there's not strong central governments that provide services to their citizens. There's going to be terrorism that comes out of there. This, of course, overlooks the fact that there are, you know, more than a billion people who live in some degree of failed states, and that there is not this sort of outpouring of terrorism from these places, but that in general, the root causes of terrorism as diagnosed by everybody from Michael Scheuer to the broader U.S. intelligence community has been determined to be largely attributable to U.S. foreign policy, that there's this strong resistance, particularly in the Islamic world, but elsewhere as well, to a sort of forward U.S. military presence on the territories of lands that are viewed as being Islamic. So I think if Obama says, you know, what the Bush administration is doing is wrong, but what we need to do is to promote dignity, one would like to see a little bit better articulation of what exactly it means to promote dignity, how we are supposed to do that, and how the world would receive that. And I think that a lot of people have invested in Obama this sort of magical ability to sort of remake public perceptions in the world of the United States, that Obama will be elected and there will be this huge outpouring of relief in the world in appreciation that America has elected Obama. And to a certain extent, to the extent that Obama is sort of a figurehead and is viewed as the anti-Iraq war candidate. To a certain extent, there's some truth to that, but I think we need to be careful about attributing to Obama this almost sort of metaphysical capacity to transform America's image when he has a lot of these ideas that I think have within them the germ of something very dangerous. But at the same time, it could just be political cover to say, but I recognize all of these threats that the Bush administration and Senator McCain aren't warning you about. So I guess it remains underdetermined. But I think there's going to be some real interesting tests if Obama were to be elected in the months and, you know, say, first year, year and a half of an Obama presidency to determine whether Obama goes with the sort of center-left, Clintonian, Madeleine Albright, Richard Holbrooke approach, or breaks not just with the Bush administration and with the Republican Party, but with that sort of center-left approach that, among other things, robustly endorsed the Iraq War. So I think that it, in terms of the Democratic approach to foreign policy, both the prospects for Obama's election and if he is to be elected, the manner in which Obama governs in terms of foreign policy, the advisors he selects, et cetera, will be really interesting from the point of view, at least, of a foreign policy wonk here in Washington.
Justin Logan is Associate Director of Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute and author of a forthcoming analysis of the foreign policies of Barack Obama and John McCain. This is the Cato Daily Podcast. Full event videos are available for download at cato.org.